4ZLK to before DJW.
ZLK?
I do have it. I have the one that is the Z100. I think Gary had the one that was a 100. So both of us had one. That's why it was confusing. But I still have the Z100.
Yeah, I only saw one on the paperwork. So that was the one I think we originally talked about. All right, I'm on Tigerville Road coming out of Traveler's Rest. Tell me where to meet you.
Tigerville? Is that the one that runs into Jackson Grove that runs into 290? I can meet you at Sandy Flat.
Little intersection.
Well, there's a gas station off of Sandy Flat. So Tigerville runs out by that. When it hits 290, there's a church on the right, and there's an intersection on the left. The Sandy Flat is the store that used to be there that had pumps out front that's on 290. There's another store down there in the holler, right? That's not really Sandy Flat, but I guess people call it that. But I'm talking about the abandoned store that was set up on Highway 290 that had the gas pumps out front that's been abandoned.
Good. If you're all right with that, I appreciate it. And I'm sure I've been by.
Okay. Well, I'll get on the road, and we'll work it out once we get closer. I'll go ahead and get on the road now so that we don't miss each other. But I do have two other tuners I didn't know I had. Two MFJ Deluxe Versa tuners. But I don't guess you want those. They also don't have the cable that fits your radio. This Z100 does.
That's funny because there must have been multiple items of the same, but they weren't listed.
Well, I just looked it up in the spreadsheet. So both tuners, both LDG 100-watt tuners, the Z100 and the 100, were there. They're just in different areas. He had a lot of stuff. There was like 32 things on that one spreadsheet. So, yeah, there is a little bit of confusion just because there's so much.
I was trying to look at it on my phone and just missed it somehow. But, yeah, that's the one I'm interested in, the one with the cable for my radio.
All right, well, I'm going to the car, and I'll meet you at Sandy Flat because you're going to probably get there before me. I don't want you sitting around for long. I'll catch you when I go mobile, W4DJW.
Is that okay?
Need to call the cops and have them meet you there, do I? It's not an illegal purchase, N6CLX.
Or that at some point it may be illegal.
If it ever gets illegal, we're all in trouble. We're living in a place we don't want to live.
Good afternoon, I believe it's Mike, is that right?
It is, and if I remember correctly, it's Sean.
It's Shane, but I've been called Sean all my life, so I'll answer that too sometimes.
We got to make sure it's Shane. Anyway, that's a good book.
If this kind of stuff gets illegal to meet up and sell and buy, we'll be sending smoke signals for the meetup point because somebody will be monitoring.
Though, meeting at an abandoned gas station, you know the cops are going to be making U-turns if they see that.
Focus on this area too much.
Yeah, that's true. You should tell Dave that you want to meet down there in that abandoned club off of Augusta Road.
Thank you. If we do that, it'd have to be like at 2 in the morning.
Shane, you go, and then whoever else that is, go.
Trying to get the cops out here. N4ZLK.
I am. Or at least I'm trying to cause some problems like I usually do. And I was just saying that Dave wants to get rid of that thing so bad, he ran to the car.
My wife's going to say something sooner or later about all of that ham gear sitting on the breakfast table. It's been occupied for about 3 weeks now. She's going to tell me, okay, now it's time to find another home for this stuff because she's going to want her breakfast room back.
My wife wouldn't have lasted 3 days. I would hear something.
Surprisingly patient with this, but I think it's because she knew Robert, and that's the whole deal.
DJWK4HWY.
D4HWI? Did I get that right? Go ahead.
That's K4HWY, Kilo 4 Hotel, Whiskey Yankee. My name is Marcial, and I'm licensed and live in Saluda, North Carolina. I'm mobile right now on I-25.
Marcial, now, were you on the Simplex net last night, or were you scheduled to be on it? I thought I saw your name on there.
Yes, sir. I just, for some reason, I thought that the Simplex net had already passed, and I was just very busy with work this past week in Charlotte, and I had a feeling I wasn't going to make it, so I still haven't looked at the checklist there. But, yeah, is it still going?
Really good success. He did call out your name for comments when we went by, so he didn't know if you were there or not. But it was a success. You'll be getting the distribution of the who can hear who from where in the near term. And then I think they plan to do it again. Sounds like they might do it a few times to, you know, refine what it looks like over time.
I'll try to arrange work better to see if I can make it next time. Hopefully I can make it. But I wanted to ask you a question. It sounded like you're selling some items from a state, and I wanted to know if you knew or if you had an antenna analyzer for sale, or if you knew who had one.
I did have an antenna. Well, I had a couple of antenna analyzers. Gary has those. I don't have any antenna analyzers. So Gary and I split it up 50-50, so neither one of us would be doing all the work. So do you know KI4DOS, Gary?
I've talked to that station before.
Okay, so he's the net control operator on Wednesday night that does the swap net for this repeater on Wednesday nights. When you hear him on here, give him a shout and see if either one of those two are left. I know somebody was interested in one of them because they contacted me and I sent them to him, and I think that one's gone, but the other one might still be there. Kilo India 4, Oscar Sierra, KI4DOS.
I'll make a note of that, and I'll see if I can, if he still has it. I'm driving to work, so I'll be listening here on the side. But this is K4HWY73, so everybody listening here.
All right, Marcia, be careful out there. Good to hear from you. Hope to hear you on the repeater more often. Shane, I am turning on the 290 over here at this church. Well, one of these churches at Locust Hill Road and Milford Road. So I should be there in less than 2 minutes.
I'm in the right place. There's a little abandoned gas station with no pumps right beside this one that says Sandy Flat. They got a little cafe and gas station. Is that where I'm supposed to be?
That sounds like it. You should see me coming up on your, if you're facing the road from the abandoned gas station, you should see me coming up on the left in about a minute and a half.
Boy, that's going to be a gruesome sight, KB4CPA.
I'm in a black Maxima, and hello, David.
Just had to get that in.
Hey, Dave. David, N6CLX. I already threatened to call the cops for this illegal transfer they're doing.
Illegal. I'm not following you.
Selling something at an abandoned gas station in the middle of nowhere, it's got to be illegal.
No, it's convenient. And that used to be, when I lived over here where we are meeting, that used to be the place to go to get, you know, groceries between grocery store visits.
Enough.
It's me behind you. In 4ZOK on the license tag. I haven't seen you outside of your big rig.
Okay.
W4DJW clear.
Family works out in 6CLX.
I don't know what y'all doing, but have fun. I think I have a good idea, KB4CPA.
Yeah, well, Dave's got a ton of stuff sitting around, and he's trying to get rid of it, and Shane wants a VersaTuner.
I have one of those antenna analyzers. it's nice because you don't have to hook a radio up to it. You just hook your coax right up to the analyzer.
Ever old MFJ version that basically just tells you SWR. I got one for HF and one for VHF. I'd like to have an analyzer, but man, 85 in traffic. Anyway, it always comes down to money, right?
I mean, you know, it's only money, and what the heck. What did they say? They were telling the kids on Blue Bloods, the grandkids, I guess it was the PC, you know, he said, now, boys, if you have a car payment and a house payment and you can't make both payments, make the house payment because you can live in the, live in the house, but you can't live in your car and you can't, and, you know, it's better to have the house and lose your car than it is. Something about you can't drive your house, but you need a place to live, something like that. It was funny when I heard it.
Butchered it though. But then I've known plenty of people that don't make the car payment or the house payment, but they sure as heck make the boat payment.
Keep your priorities straight. I mean, you know, like if you had to finance your ham radio equipment, that'd be my first check I'd write, or be my first payment anyway. Oh, me. So, I tell you, the good Lord's been good to me, though.
It'd be good to most people that at least talk to them. I don't know. I saw a guy in front of me who had a brand new, had the tag on it, new tag, a brand new Lamborghini. The thing was huge. And I was just thinking, I couldn't afford the car payment, couldn't afford the gas, let alone the insurance.
He's one of the 1% of the rich people in the United States. So, you know, for him, that's his, that doesn't stretch him financially. For you, somebody like you and me, you know, we'd be stressed out. I know I would be. I'd be afraid to drive it anywhere. It's like driving one of those classic cars that's worth $150,000 driving it down the road. I mean, you know, there's just some things you don't do, but anyway, what's the fun in having a Lamborghini if you can't drive it?
He made it through the light on Pelham Road in 14, that's all I can say, and you could hear it when he made the light.
Yeah, it sure has a good sound. Nice tuned exhaust. Everything's tuned on that thing.
I guess I could afford most anything, as like you said, just priorities, you know. I could go out and spend all sorts of money, but I could afford it, because the wife would then be saying, I'm out of here. Although, then that means, no, I wouldn't be able to afford anything.
That's one way of getting divorced, or separated, or whatever. Oh, man. It's like last night, for some reason, I don't know why, because my wife usually doesn't watch this kind of stuff. She was watching them doing crash tests with motorcycles. And what they would do was, instead of tearing up motorcycles, they would strap the bike onto a, you know, rail pulled by cable, and then it would just stop suddenly, and then it would throw the passenger, the dummy, off, and then they could see, you know, what kind of damage it would do if it was an actual person. And I said, she said something about, you just need to get rid of that bike out there. You don't ride it enough, you just need to get rid of it. I said, I have a great idea. She said, what? I said, let's change the channel.
Yep. That's, sounds like something I'd say. I got my wife bought me the lessons and got me started into getting my pilot's license. I soloed and passed my flight test, got my license, and then within 2 years I quit because I started realizing first it got too expensive renting the plane and flying around in my house. That's just not a choice.
Well, I guess if I had a bucket list, they would definitely be on it, but I don't see myself buying an airplane. And I don't know what it costs to rent one, but I imagine it's not like going out to, Enterprise and renting a car. I did see a video of, it was just a big swing, single engine prop. Kind of like a Piper Cub or something. And, it had these big tires on it. Thing took off in 10 feet, and it was in the air. And I mean, it was just amazing. And I think the stall speed was like 23 miles an hour or something ridiculous like that. I mean, you could just about get out, start walking as soon as you land. You'd be going so slow. They said if you got a little spot, you can land it on the side of a mountain and then just turn it around, take back off. Because, it just doesn't take any area to get off the ground.
Bush planes, I've seen those. I think that thing's made in Canada. But short takeoff and landing, those things are incredible. The plane I learned in was a 172 with STOL. Normal takeoff speed on a 172 is about 80, 75 knots. Something like that. But this thing would take off the ground at 60.
Well, I guess my thing is, I'm a white knuckle flyer anyway. I think I'd do better if I was behind the controls, but I had a real bad experience flying out or flying back from Dallas, Texas, in that DC-9. Flying through a winter storm, and there wasn't an empty chair on the plane, and it was just awful. That thing shook for two and a half hours, I think, to get to Atlanta, and the overhead compartments were flying open, people were screaming, and it was just awful. He couldn't get above the storm, so we had to fly through it, and I swore I'd never fly again, but I did get in I worked for the county. I didn't have a choice. I had to go up to Elkhart, Indiana, and pick up a couple of ambulances and drive them back. So we flew up and drove them back, and they were it was a turboprop. I can't remember what kind of plane it was, but anyway, twin turbos, a twin prop, and it was a pretty decent ride. We came in sideways when we dropped this repeater. KB4CBA. When we got to Elkhart, there was about, I think it was a 30-mile-an-hour wind gusting to 45, and he was flying in sideways, coming on down onto the runway. And he says, I'm going to have to really hit the brakes, guys, because they want me to make a left right here as soon as I touch down. And sure enough, man, he threw us forward, and but he made his left turn there and got off the runway. And that was an interesting flight, but it I was okay on that one. It just, I don't know, flying through that winter storm just really messed me up for a while.
Was that really a DC-9, or was it I guess it was a DC-9. Yeah, it's a two-engine DC-9 or a three-engine DC-10. just a DC-9 flying through a storm. No wonder, man. That would have been horrible. All right, well, I'm pulling in my drive here, David, so I'll talk with you later. And you have a good weekend. Hopefully I'll talk to you sometime. N6CLX.
Now, this was back in 1980, so that might put it in perspective. Anyway, 73s. Talk to you later, KB4CBA. Have a good one.